We've been looking at the series called Kingdom Time, or Timing in the Kingdom. If you missed any of the teachings, you can go to the major webpage, our major webpage. Just go down, hit the rectangle. It'll take you over there. Hit Radio Archives and go down. You'll see all kinds of different colors, and then one will turn green on you. That's the series. They're individually placed on demand there. All right? So if you miss any of it, just go down and listen in. We've been looking at this kingdom timing, and when we last stopped, and that was on Wednesday, we were talking about finishing strong and going into a new phase stronger. And we gave you some bullet points, some thoughts. Leave the trauma of the past behind. Number two, begin to worship in a new and fresh way. Number three, decree that a new wave of the Holy Spirit will overtake you. Four, declare that the seeds you have sown will sum up and manifest increase. Jamie and I talked about an hour yesterday as we were trying to figure out how come we were both out of everything. And we had a great discussion in one of that moments we talked about kingdom and how the kingdom of God works. It works on the seed principle. All right. Next one, receive the angelic host that will lead you into a new dimension of breakthrough. Let the healing flow of God burst forth. Declare your resources will multiply. We need multiplication, don't we? All right. Now, let's go to the fresh stuff, all right? We're living in dangerous times. We know that. And we're going to consider 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Numbers chapter 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 10 and Numbers 13 and 14. Now, we're going to take a look at the assignment and instruction. Remember, listen for God's instructions. God always gives instructions, always. There's always an instruction. Now, in Numbers 13, an instruction was given, was it not, that we wanted Moses to send some spies into the promised land to check it out, okay? And he does that. You can read about that in Numbers 13, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. And it gives the names of the individuals that was going to go into the promised land as spies. And I want you to know something here. Here's the first thought. These were heroes of the faith. They were very strong men. If you read the names in Numbers chapter 13, these were strong men. All right? Now, the second thing I want you to notice is that they were all like Joshua and Caleb. All right? So what caused the other 10 to see differently and influence the spies? They go out. Joshua and Caleb is included in that spying. And they all go. Here they go. Now, what caused the other 10 between Joshua and Caleb to see differently and influence the spies? What was it? Now, I want you to see something here. Here's what we know. God was very near to them, and they lost their faith. Get a hold of this. God was extremely close to them. The Lord was leading them. The Lord had led them. Now, here they are on the verge of making it across into the promised land. So we know God was very near them. We know God gave Moses the leadership, and God gave Moses the instructions to pass on, and that's exactly what happened. So we know God was very near to them, and they lost their faith. That's shattering, isn't it? Now, let's roll back and think for a moment. They witnessed God's hand in judging the Egyptians. All these men saw what God had accomplished. They experienced the Passover offering and circumcision, right? So here we are. All these individuals move from being a slave of Egypt to a servant of God, every one of them. They saw God address their enemies over and over and over again. Now, so they were all in the same spiritual position because God had been with them. Out of Egypt, through the desert, enemies fell, everything being taken care of. Now, God required they strengthen their faith to go up against the enemy that appeared stronger than them. Now you think about this for a moment. You think about this for a moment. Now, in their lives, they had the root of abandonment. They were afraid to enter the land without Moses. And what they were doing, they were returning to the Garden of Eden once again, and they refused the garden. Once again, they were going to a place that God had created for them to go, gave them the instructions for them to go, gave them the opportunity for them to go, that they knew God was with them, and they were going to be totally victorious. But they did something. They removed the concept of force and power from the people. Now, what's amazing is they go out, they do all this spying out, and they come back. And when they come back, they simply said, oh, by the way, the giants more powerful than us. So the force that would win the victory, bring him into the promised land, was removed. The concept of force against the enemy was taken away from the power of the people. Then this really blows my mind. Now, we can give you verses in here, and I can go and read verses, but I'm giving you principle and concept. All right? I'm giving you principle and concept. They ask the question, is it better for us to return to Egypt? They led a nation into blasphemy. That's what they did. It's better for us to return to Egypt. Wow. They revealed a fear in their heart. They actually believed God was capable, but they did not believe they were worthy of his miracles. That is the modern day Christian right there. Right there. Oh, God, we believe in you, but we don't. Oh, God, we know we can. God, we know you can, God, we know you can do it, but we don't believe in the miraculous. Oh, Lord, help us. And there's so many Christians that live exactly like that. Victory in the promised land and being blessed and have harvest and blessing and anointing in their lives. And they know God can do it, but they do not believe they're worthy of his miracles. If that is you, listener, stop that nonsense. Well, just little old me, I'm not worthy of anything from the Lord. Now, who's telling you that? That's talked about body, soul, and spirit. That's soulish. That's coming from your mind, will, and emotions. It's not coming from your spirit. It's coming out of your head. The influence of that is coming out of your head. Well, I'm not worthy, you know. I'll never get healed because, you know, I'm not worthy. That soulish thought. You got to deal with that, and you got to bring into captivity every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you have all these people out there, well, God doesn't do that anymore. I've heard that as a pastor. Well, God doesn't do that anymore, sister unbeliever says. What do you mean God doesn't do that anymore? God doesn't do that. There's no such thing as the miraculous. God doesn't heal anybody anymore. We got doctors. Another one that's nonsense. I'm going to be straight up to you. Straight up to him. Well, God's teaching me a lesson. Excuse me? God is teaching me a lesson. I'm sick because God want me to teach me a lesson. All right. Miss Sister Unbeliever, did you go to the doctor? Well, yes, I went to the doctor. What did he do? He gave me some medicine. Good. Now, you must have disappointed God. What? You must have disappointed God. Why is that? Because you just told me that God has laid all this stuff on your heart and in your body to teach you something. Is that right? Well, that's right, Pastor Zimmer. Okay, if that is right, you just messed up God's perfect will for your life. What do you mean? You went to a doctor to get well, did you not? Well, yes, but I'm tired. See? You see that? That's soulish thinking. That's soulish thinking. That's what it does. People, well, you know, I've had people get mad at me. Ooh. If one time in the church I heard a noise outside the windows of the congregation where they were seated, and somebody went around and went and got a rock truck, and they pulled a rock truck up there, and I thought they were going to stone me. That's what I felt like. There was so much backlash in that church on that Sunday. We're doing Word Spirit Power, our conventions we do everywhere. And my job, I do the word. I'm the word guy. And then there's a guy that talks about the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And there's a guy that does the power. He's the power guy. He talks about the power, how God functions and operates power in our lives. Word plus spirit equals power, always. And here comes the gravel truck. What do you mean you're not worthy? Show me that. Well, I just want to be humble. What? You want to be humble? So here's what you do. Don't go to any doctors because we don't want you to operate in pride. Just be humble. If that's you, listener, get that out of your life right now. And that's what happened with these spies. It's better for us to return to Egypt. That's what we need to do. We're full of fear. They knew God was capable, but they did not believe they were worthy of his miracles. You ask somebody, do you believe God is God? Oh, yeah, God's God. You believe Jesus come? Oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah. And you're not worthy? See, Caleb responded with a different spirit. Let me tell you some perspective and see your promises from God's perspective. Number one, do not let fear win the battle. Do not let fear win the battle. Number two, do not reject the yield and increase. One grapevine's yield was greater than the entire vineyard. Think about that. They came back. The grapes were so heavy they had to put them on a post and carry them. One grapevine's yield was greater than the entire vineyard. Do not curse yourself. Uh-oh. Here's what happened. The people then passed their own sentence in Numbers 14:2. That they would die in the wilderness, and they did. So many Christians curse themselves. They curse themselves, and they died because of it. Do not prefer going back to Egypt above the promise that lies ahead. And this set the course for their undoing. 40 years later, before this window reopened for them to return, Numbers 14:29, the window went bang, and it closed, and they died because of it. I hear people say, well, I was going to let people, you know, pray, but, I just. Don't let that be you. See, because your perspective can overwhelm God's perspective. That's right. How you look at things can overwhelm God's perspective. God says, okay. Okay. See, every problem that you have is a wisdom problem. Every problem you have is a wisdom problem, a wisdom lack. They lacked wisdom. And because they lacked wisdom, it overwhelmed God's perspective. God said, here's what I see. There it is. And see, secondly, you can allow sorrow to overcome your life. Don't let sorrow. I know people that sorrow has overcome them for years and years and years. They're paralyzed. Now, you can choose to go backwards if you want to. That if that's what you want to do. You can release a death curse in your life. You know that? And you can slander the land on which you have been given. Yeah. Snares. See, you can. These are snares. These are snare. What a snare is. It grabs a bird or an animal. And they get trapped. You do not see who signifies your moment, and you lose the opportunity for the promise that's waiting you. Numbers 13:32 through 14:9. Wow. They just miss it. They just miss it. They just do. It's right there. It's right there. It's right ahead of them. There it is. It's sitting there. And you can choose to walk in the same spiritual condition, or you can have a different spirit within you. You can just same thing every day, same thing. There's a person out here in some church, and I can tell you the church, but I know the person. And they know what I believe. They know what I believe. And this individual works at a certain store, certain place. And I like the particular restaurant. I do. They're what they serve is exactly what I enjoy eating. And once in a while, I'll go and I'll get a takeout order, okay? And I'll go to this restaurant, and this particular sister works in that restaurant behind the counter. And I walk into the restaurant to make my order, and I stand there and get ready to make it. And this sister, she comes up and she growls at me. I mean, she growls at me. She sets her face like flint. And she hates doing what she's doing, waiting on me. So I take my stuff and I tell her what I want, and she just absolutely working the registers and putting that order in, just absolutely despises the very ground I'm staying, the very floor I'm on. So she gives the card, she grunts and growls, and she turns her back and goes elsewhere. And I think it's amusing. And the order comes out, and I'll say, thank you very much. You have a good day, and blessings to you. And she will just, And I know why. I know why. Bless her heart. I mean that. Because I believe in the power of the miraculous, and she don't. I believe the God of heaven's the same yesterday and today and forever, and she don't. I don't have God in a box, that he's the God of all flesh and there's nothing he cannot do, and she has God all tangled up in a box. I believe the word of God is true, and the word of God works, and faith can be in operation. She apparently don't. And when I come up, she just growls so bad. And she just, ooh. And when I say, have a good day, she just literally snarls at me. She's not a good upfront person. And, you know, that's the place that, you know. And what I'm saying to you is this. What I'm saying to you is this. Is God has given opportunity in your life. He really is. And God's timing is so important. And you can choose to walk in the same spiritual condition you're in right now. Or you can have a different spirit in your life. And that choice, my friend, is up to you. More on Monday.